Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. Today is Friday, April 24th, 2026. Today we're reading from the Big Book, More About Alcoholism. We're on page 33, reading that and sharing on the second paragraph. Young people may be encouraged, ending with those who have been drinking 20 years. I think that's right. One second. Let me just check that again. It's the same paragraph. I just want to make sure I gave it. Those who had been drinking 20 years. Sorry about that. All right. And our readers for today. So we have Tenzin P. helping us out for the steps. Kelly H. is going to take care of the traditions. Colleen's reading our text and sharing. Page 164 is Julie G. Backup readers Marzi. Newcomer greeters Felicia S. Second hour host is Pam SR and Kathy S is taking care of the announcements. Our share IDs for yesterday, Thursday, April 23rd, 2026, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,393. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,394. 23,394. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Tenzin P is going to start us off with the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P checking in from New York. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
All right, Tenzin, thank you. Next up is Kelly H. with the traditions.
Good morning. This is Kelly H. from North Carolina. The 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but only service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
All right. Thanks, Kelly. Thanks, Tenzin, for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the Big Book means to us. Actually, directions in the Big Book. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we're back in More About Alcoholism, page 33, that second paragraph, beginning with, young people may be encouraged, and ending with, those who have been drinking for 20 years. And Colleen M. is going to start us off with the reading and share.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thank you. This is Colleen M., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Maryland. Young people may be encouraged by this man's experience to think that he can stop as he to think that they can stop as he did on their own willpower. As we doubt if many of them can do it because none will really want to stop, and hardly one of them, because of the peculiar mental twist already acquired, will find he can win out. Several of our crowd, men of 30 or less, have been drinking only a few years, but they found themselves as helpless as those who had been drinking 20 years. So what stands out to me in this paragraph was we doubt if many of them can do it because none will really want to stop. And it reminds me of my family of origin. I started with a weight problem probably in my late childhood, early teens. And I believe my mother was one of us. She was a compulsive overeater. The last 3 years of her life, she spent bedridden due to her obesity and the multiple medical problems that she had as a result of that. And And I watched her suffer, and I thought, this is never going to happen to me. I never am going to let this happen to me. However, you know, I was in the food, and I knew there was something different about the way I ate. I didn't understand it. I certainly didn't know anything about being allergic to certain foods, although I knew when I eat certain foods, you know, that I couldn't control myself. I also had a father who was an alcoholic, and I watched his disease and said the same thing. I'm never going to do that. And, you know, I've been in the beverage program for 26 years. So I guess, you know, I don't know about young people getting this message early on. I was told when I first got in the recovery, you can get off the elevator on any floor. But, you know, I think individually I had to hear a message that made sense to me. I had to understand that this was a disease, that it was not only a physical allergy, but a mental obsession. And I never got those two put together, you know, almost like Bill had one piece of the puzzle and I can't remember who the other person was that had the other piece. But getting them together took me years, and I still hadn't conceded to my innermost self. I still thought that willpower alone would just stopping or getting the right diet would fix me. So, you know, from my experience, I knew I didn't want to end up like my parents, and I watched their diseases. However, I didn't have the knowledge or the understanding to stop before I wound up, you know, in the same situation, you know, 120 pounds overweight, all of the medical issues that I was starting to have due to the obesity. And, you know, my children, there's probably a couple of them who could use to be in these programs, and they watch me and they're like, I don't want any part of that. I'm not doing that. You know, they're on all the crazy diets and they're walking their own journey. So I guess for me, you know, unless we hear the right message and we're open and willing to receive it. I don't know if we'll get it or not. So I guess we just keep, you know, speaking the right message to those who are still in the disease. And I need to keep hearing the message. Thank you. I'll pass with that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Colleen, for starting us off. So we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. If you've shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, allow others have a chance to share. I need your first name, first initial, the last name, where you're calling in from. And throughout the meeting, I'll let you know where we're at multiple times. All right, who wants to go? Charles.
Ian F.
Ian, my man.
Lisa C. New Hampshire.
Melissa C.
I hear Melissa, Mary someone Moore. From New Hampshire. Who is from New Hampshire?
Jane F. Thank
Got
you.
Lisa
C.
Melissa.
Miriam R. from New Jersey.
Lisa C. Miriam.
Anne Marie M.
Anne Marie.
Julie G.
Who's that again? One more time.
Julie G.
Oh, Julie. Sorry about that. Who else? Anybody else?
Rich B.
All right, Rich B.
Melissa F.
All right, that's a pretty good list. We're that's a big list. All right, Charles H., Ian F., Jane S., Melissa C., Lisa C., Miriam R., Amory M., Julie G., Rich B. and Melissa S. Charles, you're up.
Russ Money, what's good? I ain't saying my name. We already said it like 2-3 times. Yo, did I hear Kim G? Nah, my fault. That's a personal. Anyway, I'm so grateful, right? Like, so it's 5 characters in More About Alcoholism. More About Alcoholism, not 4. And these characters, as we heard,
You're
very welcome. Respectfully, they didn't have a problem, you know, getting abstinent. They had a problem staying abstinent. You know, we don't hear these sayings no more. Quit stuffing your face, start facing your stuff, right? But here's the connection with, you know, the way I feel makes me go to the food. Stress spelled backwards is dessert. So, like, I utilize that as a coping mechanism, right? And young people think that they're immune. I know some young people that are dead right now because of the disease. Not just because of their weight, but, well, it works both ways. You could starve yourself to death. You know, we hear things like thin is in and thin is not in. A healthy body weight, the definition of abstinence, is not thin. It's a healthy body weight, whatever your BMI or whatever, right? Right? We don't want to talk about stuff like that. We want to talk about what we want to talk about. You know, I can remember 2020. I got to bring these things up because it's what keeps me going, right? Like, you know, we talked about COVID, which is an outside issue, but when I started talking about George Floyd, y'all started 10th tradition. Get out of here with that, bro. We're not doing that today. But I have healed from that because that's just part of history. But nobody, no matter what your age is, creed, color, religion, non-religion, we're not immune to this. That's why you hear people that have double-digit years, they're on the line sharing because they need to do that, right? I need to do that. I am not that far removed. I need to face my stuff every day. I'm not going to be one of them that come on the line. I get many calls. I'm not popular in Overeaters Anonymous. This disease owns me. And that's why I'm here. Religiously, I'm here to hear the different volumes of recovery. You know, the ones that keep picking up, the ones that think they can't do it, just want to pray for you and say that I pray that you do it through the power of God, however you define that. I don't understand God, but I stand under God. And God is like, you know, I can remember, I'll close with this. You know, I think it was when the thing in Louisiana happened and people standing on top of buildings saying, God, come. God sent a helicopter. God sent boats. God sent life floats, right? He sent them in different colors. And you're like, nah, I'd rather drown because he didn't send me a black one. Man, that's your affair. And I pray to God that you get desperate enough to do something about your dilemma. And the resentments and the buildup of human emotions are connected to us going back to use. And with that, I will pass. Thanks, Russ.
Russ, press star one.
All right, there you go. Charles, thank you. ENF is up, followed by Jane S. Can you hear me?
Hi, folks. My name is ENF.
Got you. Great. Thank you.
You can hear me? Okay.
Gotcha, bro.
My name is Zena. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm really grateful to be here. This one is special to me, and a lot of it is because I came in young, and compared to most people in the program, I still am young. And one of the things I see about, you know, people in their 20s coming into this program is that, you know, this paragraph is talking about, like, they're encouraged by the idea of a person who can stop on his own willpower. And the reason I think that a lot of young people aren't in this program and working it and staying in it is because they haven't been convinced, talks about in the previous paragraphs, that, like, they're, like, the notion has not been smashed that they will someday have control over it. And some of that is just, like, you know, this validity to, you just haven't experienced enough pain, you're not ready yet. I mean, like, that, people don't say that for no reason. But the other thing is that to be honest, getting on some of these meetings, they scared the shit out of me. I mean, you know, and I don't necessarily think that, like, it's always the best. But, like, there is a very real sentiment in these rooms. Like, we will not hide the truth of how terrible this disease is. And I've done the work. I've worked the steps. I continue to work the steps to the best of my ability. But the love in these rooms is not, oh, it's going to be okay, honey. Just keep coming back. It's going to be okay. Here's how. And when I call fellows, like, they're not afraid to tell me, you know, if I ask them for feedback, if they, you know, if they think I'm missing something. And regardless of my age, you know, that's why I've stayed here. You know, that delusion has been smashed, that I can do this on my own. And I mean, I was 82 pounds. I almost died from this disease. But the bottom is not a number. The bottom is when the pain of what I'm doing is greater than the fear of what I am told I have to do here. And whatever that looks like for you, it's going to look different for everybody. And I just hope, you know, I hope everyone finds that sooner rather than later. Hope any of that made sense. I love you guys all. And I'll pass.
Thanks, Ian. Next up is Jane S., followed by Melissa C.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Russ, thank you for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. My name is Jane S., and I'm from New Hampshire, currently residing in Florida, a snowbirder. That's one of God's gifts to me of late. Anyway, I'm grateful to be here living in a recovered state of mind today. And thank you for the lead share. It brought me back to some honesty in my life that I had really never didn't know. I was adopted and didn't find my birth family until I was in my late 40s, which was when I got into the 12-step fellowship. And I'm mentioning this because it wasn't until my early 50s when I was at my top weight and met my nephew who knew my birth mother, who shared with me that although I never met her, she died alone, bedridden, and a double amputee from diabetes. And here I was at my top weight thinking, oh, there's nothing wrong with me, and I'm fine, I'm sober, all is good. And, you know, I realized today that's just such a reminder of the progression of this disease. And that's what this paragraph and the previous paragraph teaches me, this powerful lesson of how progressive this disease is. The beauty of my life today, and especially in the past couple years, is the progression of my recovery because of these steps. And because of the progression of my willingness to concede who I am, what God wants me to be, and the level of my acceptance and my surrender each day, just brings me to a different place. And I have a peace and a serenity in my life today that I never had before as a direct result of this actual meeting, this most current way through the steps, and then helping other women come through the steps as well, and being able to learn who I am today and who God wants me to be, and to be able to be of service to others by reaching out and by taking calls and by walking through life with people, not just in the program, but in life, you know, practicing principles in all my affairs. And I wasn't young when I got this, and I wasn't young when I got to recover that I have today, the peace and serenity and the freedom around food and so many obsessions. It's not just the food. It's just, you know, it's not about the food, but it's about the food. But once the food is not an obsession anymore, then God can really get in there and work with me. And that's what happens, and that's what continues to happen one day at a time when I continue to concede to my innermost self who I am and what I am, and that I'm not a mistake, and that I can love and approve of myself just the way I am for today, right where I am, right for today. And I don't want to die a double amputee.
time.
I won't. Oh, thank you very much. I will pass for that. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Dean. Next up is Melissa C., followed by Lisa C.
Hey, Russ. Thanks for your service. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I did originally come to OA when I was young, you know, and but I didn't hear the message, you know, and I believe that was the nature of being young. I think sometimes, you know, youth, you kind of think you know everything. And then, I mean, that was my experience. I was a know-it-all, you know, because I thought that the meetings I was at didn't really have a good message until I met somebody who was at those same meetings many years later who said, wow, I learned so much in those meetings. And she had, you know, remained recovered all those years. My experience of those meetings weren't the same because I still had the belief that I could do this on my own. And so I, you know, took a lot of the nutritional guidance, which was excellent. It was really good information in that end. And I thought I could just put it into application all on my own. And, you know, I could until I couldn't, you know. And then the crazy thing for me was, you know, I picked up alcohol. And my experience is every single time I drink, I get drunk. And every time I get drunk, I eat. It's like, you know, just connect the dots one to the other. And I couldn't seem to learn from that, you know, because then, you know, I came back to OA many years later, having this time understanding that I don't think I could do this on my own. I actually think I need help, like real help. And I came back and I made a beginning of it, which we're going to hear someone else, you know, in more about alcoholism, who makes a beginning of it, meaning I didn't complete all the work. I did parts of the work. I did the, when I say the OA Light program, I picked and choosed. And then I fell victim to the same crazy action again. In abstinence, I picked up alcohol. I picked up the same thing again and had the exact same results that I had in my, you know, in my 20s. The same exact thing happened to me. I picked up the alcohol, the food followed, and I regained everything that I had lost, and then some, you know. And I don't know, you know, I have people in my life right now, I love them, they're young, and I'm pretty certain that they suffer from this disease. I've got one person, but I just love her so much, and, you know, I've shared with her. She knows. She's watched me. But, you know, she's seen it firsthand. But she doesn't want to do this. You know, she doesn't want to do this. And my good friend in recovery has reminded me that I don't need to say a word. I live the program. That's my job. For the young people in my life, you know, my job is just to live in recovery, live this program. I'm so grateful that I found it when I found it. I'm 57 years old, and sometimes I feel like I'm in my 20s again, and that is a miracle of God. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Next up is Lisa C., followed by Miriam M.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I am a compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for your service, shares, and a great meeting. I recently finished this chapter in my step work and really appreciated so much the stories in it, and I think saw it with new eyes, and I'm really grateful for that experience. I needed to. And this paragraph is just reminding me of the denial, you know, the mental twist is really about denying and not remembering that mental blank spot, not remembering what's going to happen. But I think also this last sentence, several of our crowd men of 30 or less had been drinking only a few years, but they found themselves as helpless as those who had been drinking 20 years. So it's not necessarily about age. And I recently heard in a podcast that I was listening to, bottom is when you stop digging. You hit bottom when you stop digging. Because I think that, you know, part of the mental twist for me is that I'll just keep, I'll get well, I'll feel better, and then I will start trying, my disease will start trying to find a way to pull me out. And it will do that by comparing me to other people. And that is, you know, a problem that I had long before I ever found Program 2. It's one of the shades of the disease that I think is particularly toxic. The truth is that what will happen within those comparisons is that I will start to not see the severity of my own behavior in the disease. I will only see other people's severity, or I will start to think that what I was doing was somehow normal when it wasn't. I think that this idea that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic really is profound, because that means that kind of like there was no way around this. This was inevitably where I was going to land. I can go back to my earliest memories and see that I was a compulsive overeater. But whether or not I could even see that it was there, that thread was always there and waiting to kind of show itself to me so that I could find a solution, so that I could get well, I think, because I think that I'm supposed to walk with God, and it's something that it is a choice in a world that is very secular. It is a choice I have to make every single day. But my life depends on it. It really does, because it's not just that I will die in the disease without this walk. It's that I can't even live with any shred of joy or love in my heart, and that's not a life worth living. And so I'm just grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Lisa, before Miriam comes up, let me let you know where we're at. We're more about alcoholism. We're on page 33, the second paragraph, starting with young people may be encouraged, ending with those who have been drinking 20 years. So that's where we're at. And Miriam, you are up.
Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. Miriam R., compulsive overeater in New Jersey. And I have been listening to Vision the last while and thought about sharing and didn't share. And when we read the paragraph today, I was like, you know what? I just felt a nudge from my higher power, and encouragement from fellows I've been speaking with to just press star one. So just to anyone who's sitting here on the line, like day after day, thinking about sharing, just go for it. Just go for it. I know for myself, my disease wants me in isolation. It wants me to listen to meetings and not necessarily share, but I need to share. I need to be seen, and I need to contribute. And this is the perfect paragraph for me to comment on, because I am what's considered a young person in program. I came in young, and I really appreciate what the Big Book is saying. You know, men of 30 or less have been drinking only a few years, but they found themselves as helpless as those who had been drinking 20 years. I mean, by the time the disease had progressed in me, I don't know how hopeless people have felt 20 years my senior, but I felt pretty hopeless. And it took a year in the rooms of pretty consistently going to meetings and still binging and still not conceding to my innermost self that I was a compulsive overeater. And things getting worse until the point that I really got hopeless enough to be willing to work the steps for the first time. And I definitely had periods of delusion where I was encouraged by the messages I heard around me of like, yeah, willpower, discipline. There was a certain point in my eating career that I was able to moderate, you know, my sugar intake and have a small amount of it, and I was fine. And you know what? For me personally, that worked until it didn't, you know, until it progressed. And I'm so grateful to have a solution. I'm grateful that working these steps has removed the food obsession, which I never thought was possible. When I came into the rooms and people spoke about food neutrality, I actually thought they were crazy. I didn't think that people were lying, because I didn't sort of get that vibe from them, but I actually thought they were crazy. I didn't think it was possible because the compulsion was so loud in my brain. There were times, especially like after the relapse that I had, or in the beginning when I was detoxing off the food, the compulsion and the craving was so loud, I was barely functioning, that food neutrality sounded like something from outer space. And happily, that conclusion is wrong in the sense that I have, by the grace of God, I've experienced food neutrality, and it really is a gift. And I've experienced, you know, levels of emotional sobriety over the last few years. And being in this program is a true, true blessing. Really grateful to be here. And to anyone who is out here who is doubting themselves, who doesn't know what they're supposed to share, I had a call with a fellow, and what came of that call was like, who am I to say what people should get out of my share? I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. I don't know what God is going to put there. And I also don't know what people have to gain from what I have to say. Thank you. And so I encourage everyone to press star one and share with us. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Miriam. Next up is Anne-Marie M., followed by Julie G.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina. Gratefully recovered. Gratefully recovering through God's grace and God's mercy, and God's been so good to me. I too get very nervous about sharing. I try to share once a week. Here it is at the end of the week, so here I am. But I need to let people know where I am. I need to stay in the middle of the herd, and that was told to me when I was 27 and I came into AA. And have stayed in AA all these years. I've walked into my first OA meeting when I was 30 and didn't buy everything. And, yeah, I was told, don't worry about it. You know, I come in and say, you know, I binged last night. And people say, don't worry about it. It's okay. And I got that message while I was in and out of the rooms for about 20 years until I understood that there were foods that really did trigger the phenomenon of craving. I didn't believe that until, I read this book that was had scientific backing, that sugar is just as addictive as cocaine. Yesterday I read step one in the AA 12 and 12, and I saw, it was pointed out to me, the word conceive was not actually there, but the first page was all about conceding that I cannot, get out of it. It didn't say this in the AA, but what I need to concede, and I do concede that I cannot eat my trigger foods ever. You know, when that the delusion hits me where it says, yeah, I can do this right now. Mm-mm. No, I have conceded that I cannot eat trigger foods. I concede that I will always have this disease, even if I have a week of abstinence, even if I have 10 years of abstinence, of, you know, being free from the compulsion to eat, I will always have this disease. You know, I can see that this is a progressive disease. And, you know, when I came in, I also picked and choose what steps were going to apply to me. When I got into OA, I was picking and choosing what foods were going to, I was going to give up and which ones I was going to try to control. Like it says in this book, you know, in this chapter, you know, I thought I could control it, and I can't. And, you know, I'm here to share that. And like it was just said a couple of times, a couple of shares, if you don't share, if you're afraid to share, then just share. It's important for me anyway to let people know where I'm at. Thank you, Russ. God bless.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Next up is Julie G, followed by Rich B.
Good morning, Russ. Thanks for your service. Good morning to everyone. This is Julie G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. This is a really great paragraph and a really great meeting, and I just appreciate all of these shares and all of the different perspectives. You know, we all have this same disease, but you know, we do experience this recovery differently. As I look back on my own journey, you know, first of all, I appreciate that, like, the writers are here, right? They're trying to teach us more about alcoholism. They're trying to speak to the young person. And, you know, as I read this, you know, I probably was, I was under the false belief. I carried the delusion that I could enjoy and control my eating up until I was, you know, in my late 40s. And it's probably only in the past year or so that I have been in OA and gotten this message that I have a disease and it's not going to go away. There's nothing I can do to change that. And it's only through the experience of asking the God of my understanding for help in accepting who I am, believing who I am and living according to, you know, that awareness and the power of the God of my understanding, that I can, you know, that I can be where I sit today, just for today, because I have a lot of work to do today, to stay in this recovered state. But, you know, the thing that I thought about was, you know, none will really want to stop, right? Because that is the disease, because of the peculiar mental twist, right? And peculiar, right? It means strange. It is strange, but it's also just unique to us, right? It's a peculiar twist of the mind that I can see now as I look back, always pulled me back into this self-delusion, this false belief. And, you know, I think it's interesting that they speak to how the young people that they knew who had been drinking not a long time. Oh, thanks. Well, I guess I can't get into that, but thanks for letting me share. Bye.
Thanks, Julie. Next up is Rich B., followed by Melissa S.
My name's Rich, compulsive eater, bulimic, 100-pounder from Los Angeles. And I'm grateful to be on the meeting. I'm in Albuquerque this week at the OA World Service Business Conference. And, you know, I'll say that that paragraph hit me. I came into OA at 19 years old, you know, having done everything. And I think other diseases we don't do as early, but it's the earliest memories as a young kid in preschool is about food. And I came in at 19, you know, saw the solution. I kept it for 16 years and then lost it because I thought I was cured. And, you know, grateful to be back, you know. And I would say, you know, I don't believe there is a bottom for any, you know, for me. You know, my bottom was lying in a hospital bed, strapped to the bed, getting 3 pints of blood because I blew out my stomach from this disease. So, you know, to me, you know, I didn't want to really come to the business conference today. You know, this week I kept going back and forth and praying and meditating, and I had made a commitment several months ago, and they said, you know what, you made a commitment, you go. And it's the most spiritual, wonderful thing because it's a bunch of, you know, crazies like me making important decisions as a group conscience, you know. And it's like last night I spoke against changing the tool of telephone. They wanted to change it to outreach and joining a committee to help rewrite some of the literature. When I'm in my disease, I want to do nothing except eat. The only thing I want to do is eat and screw everybody over so I can eat more, you know. And today, you know, through the grace of God, you know, in the fellowship, who would have thought, you know, I prayed for a while, I haven't been exercising, and I prayed for the willingness, I walk in the hotel and there's a gym right next to the elevator. I think, okay, there's my lifeline. Go to the gym. You're at a conference. We got the time. So, you know, I just walked out of the gym to share. And it's like, that's God, you know, get into a routine again. So anyway, you know, I don't want to push my time, but I'm just so grateful to be here, be of service. And I say, anybody struggling, be of service, show up, get a sponsor. Don't try to do it, you know, ourselves. That's what took me out of this program, is thinking after a while I can do it alone. I can be stay in recovery alone. I don't need to call my sponsor. So thank you all, and thank you all for being here. Thanks.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it. Next up is Melissa S., and then we'll take a few more shares.
Hi, this is Melissa S. from New Jersey. I'm so happy to claim my seat, and I can't remember what I have to say. I think I shared on a meeting this week, and maybe it was this meeting. I can't even remember, but maybe it was a meeting I attended in person, but regardless, I've said about myself for a long time, I'm a great information gatherer, and I gather information and I don't follow through and I don't follow actions, and I see that I'm like doing this here also. I've been committed in here for about 3 months now, and I attend a lot of meetings. And that's great. It is on the non-negotiables, but it also is, for me, in some ways, gathering more information, because this is a program of action, and there's a lot of actions on the non-negotiables I'm not doing. And coming on here and hearing everyone talk is really encouraging, and I really have gotten through starting to seriously work the steps that I have no willpower without God. And I see my higher power helping me in a lot of ways and pushing me to keep coming. And I'm getting it, but I'm still gathering information, not doing all the things on the non-negotiables, and I'm talking out loud to myself here that nothing's going to change unless something changes. So I'm just going to keep coming back and really appreciate this meeting. I really appreciate everyone's shares. I think it's like the most awesome thing that you can just call anyone of you, hundreds of people, and everyone is nicer than the next, and everyone just wants to be there and be supportive and listen and cheer you on. And it's something so unusual in the crazy world we live in. And just want to say thank you for that and tell myself and ask God to help me to take action, do the right step at the right time. So thanks for letting me share.
All right, sorry about that. Thanks, Melissa. We got time for about two shares. Who wants them? Okay, I heard Kaya and someone before everybody else. I'm sorry. It was Kaya and
Darlene H.
Rainy S.
All right, we're going to go with Darlene. That's who I heard. All right, Kaya, I think it is. Go ahead.
Thank you, Russ. Hi, everybody. My name is Kaya P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. I live in New Jersey now, and I want to welcome anyone who's new to this, to Overeaters Anonymous in general. And maybe just to this Overeaters Anonymous meeting, called a vision for you. We're just so glad that you're here and hope that you'll stay. And, you know, if there's anyone young, I came in very young. I came in when I was 18, and I did not want to be here, but I was so desperate. And I'm 59 now. And I am so grateful that, you know, if you only knew what was here when you're, you know, they say youth is wasted, wisdom is, what is it? Youth is wasted on the young or something like that, that, you know, the wisdom comes with time. I'm just so grateful that I got to live my life with the 12 steps as a guide. And it's been a journey. But yeah, people in my profession, I often come across people who could potentially need this program. And at some point they, you know, I might suggest that they check it out. And, you know, when they're, I have one right now and she's relatively young. And I, part of me is like, if you only knew what you would be having in this, in, you know, in this program. But it takes what it takes. And I really truly believe in my heart of hearts that anyone who is in this program and abstinent today and recovered today or in the process of recovery, it is only by the grace of a loving higher power, which, by the way, I did not believe in when I came here. Everyone, whenever I share, I always say that I ran out of my first meeting because they talked about God. And I assure you, this is not a religious program in any way, shape, or form. It's a spiritual one, and finding, connecting with whatever it is that can give you purpose and meaning and hope to feel like you're part of something bigger. And that is what I'm so grateful for. You know, in one of the chapters in the book, in the AA book, it says, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, in exchange for a bottle and a hangover, I was given the keys of the kingdom. And I feel like that is true here. There's so much here. So I'm just so, so, so grateful that, you know, I got to stop a lot of generational trauma because I was raised, because I grew up in OA and was able to raise my family with a God consciousness, with a loving, with the idea that there is a loving higher power. And who knew that the thing that...
Time.
You know, okay, thanks, Russ. That's it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Next up is Darlene H., and you're going to close it out for us.
Good morning. Thank you, Russ, for your service. I'm grateful to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. My name is Darlene H. I'm recovered in Virginia. And, yeah, young people might like to think that, hey, here it is. I can handle this. I thought so. I came in at 33. I got abstinent immediately. I worked all the tools. I worked a tools program. And I had a lot of fear when it came to the idea of breaking my abstinence. And that's the program that I worked. It wasn't, I too, when I walked in the door, couldn't stand the fact that everybody was talking about God. I was pissed. And at that time, everybody was reading a book. I don't think it's Conference of Proof, so I won't name it, but it was very religious. And, you know, I hated every minute of it. I still sometimes squirm when people make religious references. But I came to find out that it wasn't a religious program, but I also came to find out that I decided to cafeteria plan it, you know, take what I like and leave the rest. I eventually broke my abstinence, thought I could get it back quickly, and it was a nightmare. A fellow shared the other day, as we've been reading these paragraphs, about how once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, always a compulsive overeater or a food addict, whatever you call yourself, and I believe that. I don't believe that my disease is doing push-ups out in the parking lot. I believe that I have the same illness that I've always had, that it's just dormant until I add that ingredient, whatever it is, or that compulsive behavior in my body, and then it's activated and I'm off. It's what I do believe is that it's harder and harder and harder for me to become recovered again. that the lies and the stories and all of that that my diseased brain likes to tell me makes it much harder. And I also, as another fellow was talking about this morning, is we all have different bottoms. I have had different bottoms over the years. When I came into OA, originally I was 260 pounds. I was morbidly obese and miserable. You know, several years later, I was 277 pounds, morbidly obese and miserable. You know, I've come back after a relapse of being 190, whatever. I have had different levels of my bottom, and every one of it really has everything to do with my spiritual condition and my emotional, where I am emotionally. So I'm so grateful that I had to have all of these experiences for myself, because no one could have told me. No one could have told me. I can listen to what everybody's going through and then decide, oh, that's never going to happen to me, because now I have the information. No, what I really need to do is rely on a power greater than myself. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Darlene. Appreciate it. Appreciate everybody shared and everybody that did service on this meeting today and for the month of April. All right. So let me give you today's share ID. It's Friday, April 24th, 2026, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. It's 23,397. And stick around for another unrecorded hour of study immediately following this closing. And Julie G is going to read the passage from the big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you till then. And then we're going to pray the serenity prayer.
Thanks again, Russ, for your service. Julie G. in Pennsylvania. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Okay, we're waiting for the meeting to be unrecorded.
I think you're muted.
I am muted. I'm just waiting for the recorder to go off.